Hey, you guys, we started this whole year out saying that we're rooted and that we need to be rooted. Can anybody help me understand how that's working out for them? What they understand about rooted, the theme, how it fits in their lives. What are we even talking about when we say rooted? Let's say we have some guests here today that don't know what we're talking about. Can you share that? What does it mean to be rooted? Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. Nice. Thank you, Scott. So Scott's saying being grounded in the will of God and being able to share that not just with yourself but with others. How do we do that? This is a challenge. What does it mean to be rooted? Yeah, Debbie.
Spending time in the Bible every day.
Stepping out of that boat. All right, Richard. Walking on the water. There's a great book that your elders are going to be going through in just a little bit called If You Want to Walk on Water, You Got to Get Out of the Boat. Say it again.
Know what you believe.
Know what you believe. Whoo. Knowing what you believe, spending time with God, being grounded in Him faithfully. But can I just be real with you? It's hard. It takes time. Learning His voice, recognizing. I was talking with a young lady that I've known since she was a little girl, and she was like, you know, I'm just trying to hear God's voice, and I know that I can hear it because I've heard it before. And then she's testifying of how she's ignored His voice. Anybody feel that reality? That you know His voice because you've heard Him. He's spoken to you. He's spoken to us. We want to be rooted, not so we look like whatever. We want to stay rooted so we look to God and that we have our lives filtered through His word and what He wants for us. You guys, I want to encourage you and remind you, if you are a kingdom person, and not your kingdom, not the world's kingdom, not the kingdom of America or the empire of Western civilization, whatever other kingdoms, if you're the kingdom of God type person, Jesus is your king, then you would live accordingly and you would learn more and more about what that looks like and let Him refine you and trust that He's faithful to complete the work that He begins in you. And that comes out in your interactions with people. It comes out with how you spend your money, how you spend your time, how you spend your resources that are outside of money and time. And it's a gift. It's an opportunity. It's a great gift. And I just want to remind you, if you're His people, then you get to live like it. We offer up lots of opportunities here, but not nearly enough, and people let us know on a fairly regular basis, why don't you do this and why don't you do that? I think it's legit and it's wonderful. We talked about this last week, that in this world, we have a lot of opinions on when life begins, and we read in Psalm 139 that God knows you in the womb. He knows you before that. He knows your mind and your words and all that before they're even out there. But whatever the case is on what you think about abortion, what you think about life, there are lots and lots of human beings that are alive right now that need help. And you can be a part of that. You can help lives be saved, and you can help lives be lived well. These wonderful little bottles filled up with coins and whatever else you want to fill them up with financially actually help real live people. Real live people in the womb, real live people out of the womb. Parents who are trying to get it together. Parents who want to know what it means to be parents, and parents that want to provide for their kids. So to have somebody say that they would take up to $1,000 of this and match it is because they believe that this makes a difference. So, This one's empty. You can come get it. And we'll fill them up some more. A lot of people want to make a difference. That's one way. VBS, which we call day camp, is another one. You know, we have a ton of people moving into this community, and they're bringing their children with them. Some of them are bringing their children with them because their children are 23 and they haven't got a job and they're finding a new house, maybe someday, but not today. But some of those kids are VBS-aged kids, like school-aged kids. And I don't know, how many moms are here and online? I can't tell, but how many moms are here? You've been a mom, you've loved on kids, you've cared for them in a mom-type way. Almost all the women here, right? I mean, moms, does it feel like you're being loved and cared for when your kids are loved and cared for? Does that feel good to you? Does that feel like people are paying attention to you and likewise your kids, right? If we're not going to do it, then the Lord is actually shutting the door. But I, as a pastor, but most importantly as a dad, would hate to see that happen. We're not the only church in this community, and we're not the only church in this community doing a day camp or VBS. So if we're not to do it, God has it covered. But I think as a church, this is a wonderful way, from an evangelistic standpoint, from a care for the community standpoint, to give people something positive, to help them think about such things as Jesus. And he's no thing at all. He's a creator. So if you're able to, wanting to, if you're like, I might have to take time off, I have time off, but I don't know if I want to spend it that way, that's your cost-benefit analysis, and I won't shame you if you say, I've got little things I need to do. But if you're able to help and you're able to actually lead something, because we have this go, no-go. How about that, John, instead of drop dead, right? We have this go, no-go day on Wednesday because there's a lot to prepare. And frankly, we're behind the ball on it. That's not your fault. Remember that whole saying, your lack of planning doesn't necessitate an emergency on my behalf? Well, family, we're a little offside here and we need some help. If you're able to, I'm welcoming that and asking you as one of your pastors to get into that. If you're not able to do that, you don't know what it all entails, and so you need some more information, please talk to Pastor Zach. He has a meeting today after church. Second service, and there's going to be lunch involved. Yeah, okay. Shannon's like, bring that food. There's a motivating factor for some of us. But whether that's a motivating factor or not, if God's calling you, we're asking you, as a rooted individual, come and see what it's about. Maybe be a part of this. Lead a part of it. And if it's not going to happen, then I'm not going to whine and complain about it, and I won't shame you or beat sheep or any of that kind of stuff. All right, I want to get to this known. We've been talking about Psalm 139 for the last few weeks. Being known, right, is such a great feeling. Like to know what needs to be known about somebody means that you've got to pay attention. To know that God knows everything about you and loves you like crazy, to know that he can be everywhere all at once is like too much for our minds to take, and yet it's real. You guys are familiar with intimacy, right? Intimacy is not just something that's a physical intimacy. There is that for sure. But there's an emotional and relational intimacy that God designed us for. Somebody tell me, when Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? What did Jesus say? Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And say it again. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. This is intimacy, friends. This is being known and knowing. We want that. We long for that. And we've been talking about it. If you'll join me, we're going to read Psalm 139. We're going to read 1 through 16, and then today's verses that we're going to unpack a bit are 17 and 18. It's only a couple of verses, but you know I'm still going to preach for a long time. So here we go. Psalm 139, 1 through 16. Oh Lord, you've searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. You guys, what you've just heard might be exactly what you needed to hear today. I hope you're ready for more. But this is God's word. This is him powerfully displaying that he knows you, everything about you, your thoughts, your words. He knows who you were. He knew the whole story of you from beginning to end before any of those days came about. All of those days. The next verses are small, but they are very, very weighty, very precious. Literally, the word precious means weighty, and we're about to read that. Listen to these. How precious, weighty, or heavy to me are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them? If I would count them, they're more than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. So amazing. How precious are the thoughts that you have. How valuable, how weighty, how heavy. You guys ever think about this? I'm going to use that word think on purpose. Do you ever think about what is God thinking about? Remember that little phrase? My grandma used to say this, penny for your thoughts. Boy, she probably wished she wouldn't have said that sometimes. It's throughout all kinds of things. But you know, penny for your thoughts. God, what do you think about? We're talking about God's thoughts right here. And I'm going to ask if we can go back just really quick. Is that you up there, Bill, on it? Thank you so much. Back to verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they're more than the sand. I awake, and I'm still with you. God, you think so many thoughts concerning me, concerning everything. You have so many thoughts. If I even tried to count them, it would be like the sand on the seashore. Who loves walking in the sand? Just barefoot, all snuggly. I hate sand. Oh, gosh. It's so irritating. It's so everywhere. My kids, when they were little, naked and free, sand. Everywhere. Where else did the sand go? Oh, wherever they went. You got it on your shoes. It's all over the place. I tried just recently when we were down at the Oregon coast visiting our daughter and son-in-law. I tried to count like a pinch of sand. A pinch! Good luck. I'm not good with math, but how are you even going to separate those out? I had to take off the glasses because I'm there, right? And I'm like, nope. This is God's thoughts. There's just so many of them. They're so vast. He says, but when I wake up, I'm still with you. You guys remember the same thing, different day? They say other words with it, but you know, how you doing? Oh, same thing, different day. That is not what David is saying here. He's like, you're so amazing. So in that way, it's the same every day. But when I wake up, I'm not away from you. I'm still with you. How many of you had a dream last night that you remember? We're not going to talk about it, but how many of you remember having a dream last night? John, because you've got a good conscience. That a boy. All right. Or you just get real sleep. You guys, I've literally woken up and thought everything was terrible because of what I dreamt. So real. I don't even want to talk about it. You guys, he's like, look, when I wake, I'm still with you. Your thoughts are amazing. Let's talk about how amazing God's thoughts are. We're going to go to Psalm 40, verse 5. We read this a couple of weeks ago. Psalm 40, verse 5. When you get it, please, one of you, stand up and read it. And if you're like, oh, I didn't bring my Bible with me, I don't have my phone, boop, 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 it's up on the screen. But if you're ready, please stand up, read Psalm 40, verse 5. Not all at once. Gosh, we've got to take turns. Thank you, Annette. Hey, your thoughts are so amazing, so deep, so wonderful. There's so many of them. I'm going to tell people about them, but I can't really even touch it. But I'm going to try. I'm going to make a big deal. I'm going to stay rooted by talking about you, by sharing, proclaiming, telling of your thoughts. Let's go to Psalm 92, verse 5. That was also read just a couple days ago. Psalm 92, verse 5. If you don't know what I'm talking about when I say that we read it, we have an app. If you have a smartphone, you can get an app, or you can just go to our website and figure out how to do that. But here's the thing. We have these reading plans. We have all these opportunities. You even have the QR code. If you know what that's like, get your camera, look on the back of one of these chairs that has it, and it'll give you a list of all kinds of great things that are going on. But we're reading through the book of Psalms for a six-week period. Who's got Psalm 92:5 and would read it for me? For us. Go ahead. Thanks, Joe.
How great are your works, O Lord? Your thoughts are very deep.
Okay, so I am a simple guy, so I'm just going to get right to a little point here. God's thoughts are great in number and great in depth. Too much for us to even understand, and yet he calls us to think about these things. He calls us to know him more. So we make this effort to go for it. And then we find out things like it says in Isaiah 55. You can join me there. I'm going to read 6 through 11. Great in number and depth, and yet he asks us to be a part of it. He says, look, I know everywhere you're going, and this wonderful God thinks about you. You ever wondered if somebody's thinking about you? You wonder because they don't send you a text or they don't call. You wonder because you're not sure. God's thoughts about you are so much that you can't even count them. You should not have to wonder if he's thinking about you. It's not like he's just sitting there bored. I wonder what Chad's up to today. He loves you. He wants you. He made you. He knows the best way for you to run. But he's different. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man or woman his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Does anybody know what this is talking about? It's a simple word that we've talked about a lot. Anybody got it in that amazing brain? Forsake your, what's that? It's grace, amen, forgiveness. But there's an R word. Word up, repentance. You guys, constantly, he's like, you can turn back. I abundantly pardon you. I want you. Forsake your ways. Seek me while I may be found. And this, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. So, like, we don't think like God thinks. He gives us, like we're going to look at in a little bit, the mind of Christ. But even as his people, we need to, as my friend Leslie said on Tuesday night, we need to come underneath his wing sometime and just say, I'm sorry. I don't get it. I was wrong. I wandered. And he doesn't go, get out. It's really lame to be you. Bye. No, he loves you. He longs, like it says, like Jesus said, to take care of you like a mother hen. But you refused. But this is saying, look, forsake your way. Forsake your unrighteous thoughts. For my thoughts, he says, are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and we're getting a lot of it, thanks for May. For as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and the bread to the eater, us little complainers about the weather, it makes stuff grow. California, anybody? New Mexico? Even Eastern Washington? We've got an abundance of water here. God sends it to make things grow. So shall my word, now we're talking about being rooted again, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. His thoughts may be different. He may be way beyond, forget that. He's way beyond us, and yet he's got plans for us. He wants us. He's got something good. He's got something to accomplish. But, as you'll see, his thoughts are so different than ours. You guys remember Job? We're going to turn to Job, by the way. It's right before the book of Psalms. But Job 38. Somebody give me one word to describe the story of Job. Suffering. That's good, as good a word as we're going to come up with. But while we're turning to Job 38, any other ones? Oh boy. Is that what you said? Loyal. Amen. I would say not only was he loyal, but most importantly, God was and is. You guys, Job's life was great until it wasn't. But God was always good. So many bad things happened to him, and it's such a miraculously crazy story and mysterious and all that, and yet God lets us in on this cosmic opportunity for God to be glorified through a human being. Look, I have so many things that are on my mind and my heart, not only most days, but today. But I want to say this to you. God wants to bless you. He wants to be seen through you. He has good for you, no matter how many things you've done. that are bad. Forsake those wicked ways and come back to him. Well, I don't deserve it. Grace isn't deserved. It isn't earned. We have a hard time with that because we're prideful. God, who's totally in charge, isn't prideful. He humbled himself. Anybody tell me really quick how you know God humbled himself? Came down to our level, died on the cross. God was never dead, so let's just get that right. Jesus, Theoanthropos, the God-man, he died as a human. This is a big deal. You needed him to pay your price. I needed him to die a death that I deserved, that I might live a life that I could never earn. And so Job is this great dude that's loyal and hangs in there with God, but he wants to die, and he starts questioning God because he's a human being. And then he's got his buddies that show up, and one guy kind of gives him some good advice, and some of them say little tidbits of things that are true, but really they're just ultimately like, you sinned. You must have sinned when you were in the belly of your mama. I mean, you did something wrong, because nobody suffers like this without doing something wrong. Gosh, I mean, this is just so remarkably countercultural. He wasn't suffering because of anything he did wrong. He was suffering because God allowed it and would be glorified in it. Finally, God shows up. And in four chapters, he asks questions that only God knows the answer to. He asks things like, where were you when I made the lightning? Who sources the lightning? You're so smart. Why don't you tell me? You know what Job comes up with? Yeah, just like you and me. You know, I think about this all the time. Science is this wonderful thing that actually proves God, but a lot of scientists are trying to disprove God. They're trying to figure out, oh, yeah, yeah, we know how this was made. Cool. Good job. Do you know who did that? I mean, give glory where glory's due. This is a credit check. Where's God and where's all his credit at? So these first five verses in Job 38 are this. God is different than us on steroids. Listen. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. All this crazy chaos. Hey, I got a little something for you. Who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action or gird your loins. He's like, put on your big boy pants. I got some questions for you. Dress for action like a man. I will question you and you'll make it known to me. Known. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? You guys, God is so much more awesome than us. Cannot even be fathomed. It's a word I struggle with all the time. Unfathomable. It's like, what? Cannot be fathomed. I can say that easier. I can't even say the word. He's just so much better, so much deeper. His thoughts are so crazy out there. So the question is begged. How can we know what God's thinking about? I'm going to give you an answer, but I would love to hear from you guys. How can we know what God's thinking about? We can read his word. Are you going to get all of his thoughts that way, Annette? No. There's so many sandy thoughts. How else? How can we know what God's thinking about? Ask him. Do you think he cares what you think? Not just like, bad little Eric. Can't believe you thought about that. In the corner. Again. Yeah, he's going to discipline you, but he actually, he's like, There's so many good things. If you don't watch the Live It Out videos, I'm encouraging you to do so. Some cool stuff that I had God download to me that I'm going to share with you today on that. And it'll come, you know, by the midweek, we have a Live It Out. What are you going to do with what you heard? You could also come on Tuesday nights and discuss this with us if you'd like. 7 o'clock, right there in the cafeteria? Cafe. This way to the cafeteria. All right. So, how can we know what God's thinking about? His word. Obey him. How about consider his Holy Spirit? His Holy Spirit will make his thoughts known to you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. I'll tell you this without any kind of delay. The Holy Spirit of God is the Holy Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ. You want to know what God's thinking about? I'll read it at the end. I don't have it on there, but Hebrews 1, verse 3. You can consider Jesus if you want to know what God's thinking about. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 16. Listen to this. You want to know what God's thinking? But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard. Who made the eye and the ear, by the way? Yeah, the Lord made them. He opens them up. Ask him for help. The Holy Spirit gives you eyes to see and ears to hear. But what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Listen to how he breaks this down for us. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. If you are not understanding God in everything, it's because you're a human and you're limited. If you're not understanding God at all, you maybe need to consider, have you submitted to him? Do you recognize that he's God and you're not? Have you confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord? Have you believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Have you recognized that there is no Savior apart from God? Not your money, not your mama, not your country, only Jesus. He's delightfully, exclusively the Savior. And he includes everyone who wants to be saved. As Colleen talked about, he's given you that gift to even believe. Will you receive? But if you have Jesus, you have his Spirit. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who's from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words, not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. That sounded like you'll get it if the Spirit's in you. You're going to understand God's thoughts more and more. All of them? No, there's one God. And will you just gently say to the person next to you, you're not God. Go ahead. Gently. You're not God. Gently, because some of you don't say it so gently. Some other times. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. Stupid. You Christians are just out of your mind. You know, I love telling people, you have no idea. And people are like, I just don't really like organized religion. I'm like, I'm your dude. I'm so unorganized. We love all kinds of things that are organized, and then God makes sense. Oh, that's religion. Sorry, that's a thought for another day. Back to verse 14. The natural person person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're folly to him. And he's not able to understand them because they're spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Receive God's Holy Spirit. If you're hearing right now that you're not God and that he is, and that you've been worried about this, you've been clinging to that, you've been distracted by this, you want so much to see this happen that you're not even listening to God, then humble yourself, forsake those evil ways, and come to the Lord. It's the thing about Aaron. He's always giving altar calls without calling people up. No, I'm reminding Christians as well that God is our God. We don't tell him what to do. Or do we? I mean, we try so often, right? Repent. Hey, Christian, I'm talking to you. Hey, non-Christian, I'm talking to you. God's word is talking to us. If we have ears to hear, his Spirit is opening us up, and we have the mind of Christ, so we can actually start to understand and discern and believe and follow Jesus. This is good. Your thoughts concerning me, about me, your thoughts, period, are just so vast. I can't even count them. They're just so weighty and precious and heavy. And there's lots and lots and lots of them. How do I even understand God? By his Spirit. God doesn't say, follow me and be blind about it. He's like, come on, I got you. I'm teaching you. I want you. I told you I had a little bonus passage for you. I'll read it for you. You guys can join me. Hebrews 1, verse 3. He, Jesus, is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Jesus, you want to know what God thinks? Read Jesus, follow Jesus, believe Jesus, trust Jesus. His Spirit will help you understand him, and you'll grow more and more and more. How many of you besides me have read a very repetitive Psalm 139 for the last few weeks? Reading it a few times. How many of you have gotten something new out of it, even though you've been reading it over and over again? The Holy Spirit's unpacking more of these countless thoughts for us. Christopher Ashe, who's quickly becoming one of my favorite commentators in his book, Psalms for You, says this: I too am God's personal loving handiwork. I too have been created by God in Christ Jesus so that I may do precisely the good works God has prepared in advance for me to do. Ephesians 2:10. I'm not to regret that I'm not someone else, that I didn't have different parents or a changed upbringing. For however flawed it seems to me, and however painful, I must trust that in Christ, God has shaped me just as he has purposed for me to be. There are no accidents with God. You can screw a lot of things up, but you cannot be separated from his love if you're in Christ Jesus. You will be separated from his love if you stay outside of Jesus. And I'm not just talking being in this building or saying I'm a Christian. It's actually confessing, believing that he lives where? In us and through us and way outside, everywhere. There's nowhere you can go apart from him. If you're running, stop, turn around, come back. If you're doubting, that's real. But believe. There is a God, and good news, you're not it. Only he is. I've like five questions for you that I'd love for you to spend some time on either today or you can come on Tuesday at 7 o'clock with us. But this second question, I think, is one that is eating at me in a good way. What's so precious or weighty about God's thoughts? My first answer is, they're God's. He's so awesome. But we can go deeper than that. If you would, I'd love to pray with you. Father, today and every day, I rejoice that you're God and I'm not. I rejoice that you are so good. I rejoice that you have thoughts that are so innumerous and yet you want me to be a part of them. I thank you that you love all of us, not because we're such a prize, but because you're so awesome and you made us in your image. And that allows us as redeemed people to be your inheritance, to be the apple of your eye, to be people that you care about, love so deeply, and even take messed up upbringings, messed up decisions, messed up lives, and redeem them. God, you're so good. May we submit to you. May we think about what you think about. May we fix our eyes on you, the author and the finisher of our faith. God, I pray all this in Jesus' righteous name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. And if you're here and your kids are downstairs, go see if they still are. Okay, thanks.